Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Well, I had a wonderful mama, and I know each one of you ladies here are tremendous mamas and will be mamas someday, or that you've been a wonderful sister to a lot of children, and all of us need each other. I just couldn't pass that one up. This morning I want to teach on a topic I call the joyful in the journey. I'd like to share with you the fullness of the joy God has prepared for each one of us as we live the life that He has prepared for us. One of the sweetest experiences of joy comes with motherhood. You know, I recently was with our daughter Susie for her second boy. She was induced, so we were there from the very beginning. And that was about 36 hours of her starting labor and finally delivering the baby boy. And what joy when that little Milo came out, this little 9-pound, 12-ounce little guy with lots of hair. it was supposed to be little, but in fact, the new thing now when a baby is born that they do skin to skin. So mom has, she's disrobes and the baby has no shirt on, and they put the baby right on your skin to start that bonding. Well, they wanted to do that right away, and we all said, well, we want to see how much he weighs. Because he was just, there was a reason why it took so long. And so they took him, weighed him, and we found out he was 9 pounds, 12 ounces. Then we put him on mama. But we had to see that. But they go, okay, this is not what the rules are. So funny. But, you know, the word says in John 16:21, a woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish or the pain for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Think about, there's a lot of pain in that labor and delivery because you have this little tiny hole has to come big enough for a baby's head to come through. And if we didn't forget that pain, we probably wouldn't have more than one kid. Right, moms? But God made it so perfect that there's so much joy. And in joy, and we're going to talk about joy today, is in joy there's some experience. It's not like I got the lottery, so now I have joy. That's happiness. That's, you know, nothing that God's word will bring you. But joy is something that is experienced. There's hard work in delivering a baby, but once that baby is born, all that pain is forgotten. Joy has been defined as the inside deep feeling of great pleasure and happiness is a result of a notable accomplishment that you have done or have been done for you. It is long-lasting and cannot be matched by any other feeling outside of the love of God. And that's a quote from my husband, Bob Limfeld, on May-June newsletter 2018. That joy is an inside job, and it comes from being faithful. And we'll look at Jesus Christ and the joy that was set before him. But we know joy is a fruit of the Spirit, and we can only experience joy if we're born again of God's Spirit. This morning I received a lot of text messages, Happy Mother's Day, and Jim and Jira sent me one that was a little cartoon. And it was these two kids that were in mama's closet, and they pulled out this cape with a S on a big Superman on it, and it said, "We knew that's how she did it." But that Superman, and you know, I take that S, that super, it's a superhero. Or Jesus Christ is our superhero. It's that Christ in us. We never think of, until today, didn't think about that fruit of the Spirit is part of that Christ in you. That's what is, it's Spirit, Christ in you. And Jesus walked in great joy because he had that trust and confidence in the Father. Joy is that super strength to help us carry on. like that Christ in you strengthens the inner man. So every one of those fruit of the Spirit are that same, that confidence that gives us the strength to do the Father's will. To, when we stay dependent on Him, then we grow in that strength. But those characteristics of the fruit of the nine fruit of the Spirit are all of what Jesus Christ was. So I think about how important that joy is, and we used to have this saying, what's the shortest verse in the Bible? And people would say, Jesus wept. But you know what it is? It's rejoice evermore. God's desire is that we rejoice evermore in every situation. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's the lifestyle that we live. And we are totally dependent on Him. Let's look in Luke 15:10. There's another great joy that the angels have joy. And that is when a sinner repents. Luke 15:10 says, likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Isn't that something? Even the angels get excited when we get born again. Great party going on there. Sorry about this. We know when we let go and let God, the joy of the Lord is our strength. You know, I think it was just amazing how God plans things. In the Old Testament, in the army time, when they had war battles, who was in the front lines? The musicians. They were singing praises to God. So we should be having that joy, experiencing joy every moment of the day, because God is with us and He has given us everything that we need. In His presence is fullness of joy. That is Psalm 16:11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. You see how important that presence of God in our lives is. Then we have full joy. We can handle any situation in life. Joy represents a faithful, loving attitude that puts our Heavenly Father in control of our lives. And that's something, that's what He shared with me this morning. When we are in His presence every moment of the day, we have joy. If today God wants to bless us exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, can you imagine the joy and rejoicing we will have all in all eternity? Because we will be in His presence every second, every nanosecond of the day. How do we receive the joy, fullness of joy? It comes from a vital relationship with God. Let's look at 1 John chapter 3. Verse 1 and 2. And then we look at Jesus Christ's life, because He is totally the example of this joy. 1 John 3:1 and 2, I'm going to read you from the NLT. It says, see how very much our Father loves us, for He calls us His children, and that is what we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children, because they don't know Him, Jesus Christ. How much joy do you think Jesus had? We're going to look at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3 in the NLT, and we're going to have it up on the screen. Hebrews 12:1 in the NLT is, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge cloud of witnesses to the faith, life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance that race God has set before us. What is sin but anything we put before God's will? We don't think about it. Sometimes when I doubt, when I have fear, that's sin. So we have to put that sin off. You know, an Olympic runner doesn't run with a backpack on. He takes everything off so that he could run gracefully and have that strength, the momentum. So we strip off all those things that the world has for us. We have that joy of the Lord is our strength. So why put it back on? We don't need to do that. Verse 2. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding the shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor before God's throne. We look unto Jesus. You think about that's Christ in me, the hope of glory. That's who I am. That's what I've been called to be. He was the champion of faith. He perfected our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross. We have joy every day because we have the hope of Christ's return. We have God's plan for our lives. We have the Spirit of God in us, Spirit of Christ in us. We have the mind of Christ. We are fully complete to have joy abounding. And that's what God wants us to joy. And then verse 3. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. Now, his life wasn't easy, but it was perfect because he only did the Father's will. He said, I can do nothing of my own will. And then the joy of the Lord is my strength, Nehemiah 8:10. If Jesus could only do the will of the Father, and he could have of his own self do nothing, then we can of ourself do nothing besides what Christ did. So that's what our goal is, to do the things that our big brother did. He set the path for us. In Hebrews 14:6, it says, let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace to ask for help in time of need. We come boldly because God is our Father. How do you approach God? That's a big question in your relationship with the Father. Do you approach him as a loving father and you want to just jump on his lap? Or do you approach him thinking, oh God, if you have time to think about me, I know you're busy, or, you know, my problems aren't anything compared to Bob's problems, so you don't need to worry about me. You know, that's not what's right. We are individuals loved by him, and he wants us to jump into his lap. He never wants us to go somewhere else to try and have our needs met because he's our Father. We look to Jesus. He always did the Father's will. His prayer life brought him strength and joy. He never was left without an answer to his requests. I think about a great error in Christianity is saying that God forsook him on the cross. His Father never forsook him. He said, for this purpose was he spared. That's what the translation should be. I think it's blasphemy to say that God would have forsaken him, because that's a lie. He will never forsake any of us. But you might say, well, my journey's been tough. Well, do you think Jesus had an easy life? No. But he took it with joy, the joy that was set before him. He looked beyond the cross, beyond the shame, to the Father's love and his future. Don't we have that same joy inside of us? Absolutely. We have those same thoughts. Seeing today is Mother's Day, I would like to share with you an amazing mom who simply believed God and changed the course of her son's lives because of her faith. I'm going to share from the book The Confident Mom by Joyce Meyer. It's a sweet little book. And so here it goes. Two Mighty Smart Boys, it's called. If you ever feel like you just can't relax and trust God, think about Sonia Carson. She's a mother who started out in life with more strikes against her than most of us can imagine. Born into a family of 24 children, she grew up in an atmosphere of poverty and abuse. She got married at 13 years old to an older man, hoping for a better life. But instead, after having two sons, she found out her husband had another wife and family. And he actually was a minister. That's not good. Left with no other good option, Sonia divorced him and began raising her two boys alone. A black woman in the 1960s with only a third grade education, Sonia was totally unprepared for the hand life had dealt her. So the next few years after her divorce, she battled confusion and dangerous depression. Whenever it became too much for her, she sent 10-year-old Curtis and 8-year-old Ben to stay with friends or neighbors for a few weeks. She arranged for the boys to have so much fun that while she was gone that they never guessed their mother secretly spent those weeks in a mental institution trying to pull herself together and find a way to do what she had to do. Thankfully, Sonia Carson was brave enough and smart enough to ask for help when she needed it, first from other family and ultimately from God. So it wasn't too long before she no longer needed to take those secret trips. In fact, she became so strong and so full of hope that nothing could shake her. Not the dwindling groceries in the pantry, not the racial prejudice her boys faced at school, not the fact that she sometimes worked 3 jobs at a time, spending long days caring for wealthy people's homes and families for minimum wage while her own children stayed home alone. Not even the failing grades young Ben brought home on his report card or his reputation as the worst student in the 5th grade class at Higgins Elementary School could shake her. Sonia refused to allow any of these things to steal her confidence in God. "Everything is going to be all right," she told Curtis and Ben. They believed it because she believes it so strongly herself. And when they talked to her about their struggles, she always pointed them to the source of faith, of her faith. "You just ask the Lord," she said, "and he will help you." After Ben was grown, he wrote about one time in particular when his mother's trust in God helped chart the course of his life. He'd gone with her to one of the many church services they attended. The sermon had focused on medical missionaries who worked abroad and helped people live happier and healthier lives. "That's what I will do," I said to my mother as we walked home. "I want to be a doctor. Can I be a doctor, Mother?" Now think about it. This is the kid that was the worst in the 5th grade class. "That's what I want to do," I said to my mother. "Okay, I want to be a doctor." "Benny," she said, "listen to me." She stopped walking and Mother stared into my eyes. Then laying her hands on my thin shoulders, she said, "If you ask the Lord for something and believe he will do it, then it will happen." "I believe I can be a doctor." "Then Benny, you will be a doctor," she said matter-of-factly, and we started to walk on again. Acting on her faith and God's ability to help her sons overcome the odds piled up against them, Sonia limited their TV watching and required them to read and write reports about 2 books a week. She marked the reports with her approval, never letting on that she was unable to read them. And even when naysaying teachers gave other reasons to doubt her children's prospects for a bright future, Sonia continued to say, "I've got 2 smart boys, 2 mighty smart boys." Not surprisingly, her words came to pass. Curtis went on to excel academically and became a mechanical engineer. Ben graduated from Yale, earned his medical degree at the University of Michigan, and became one of the world's most renowned neurosurgeons. He is best known for leading the surgical team that succeeded with one of the most groundbreaking operations ever attempted, the separation of Siamese twins joined at the head. This is Dr. Ben Carson, who is, a tremendous believer. He was the Secretary of Department of Housing and Urban Development in the Trump administration. He has done surgeries for infants in the womb. Tremendous, but his mom believed in him. She taught him the word. She was that example for him. And you think about, look at the obstacles that she went through. 3rd grade education. But she had faith, and she had that hope, that joy that God has for each one of us when we walk with him. She gave up that burden of trying to figure out, that she was a victim, and she took responsibility for who she was, who her children were, what was her life all about, and she waited on the Lord. And Isaiah 40:31 says, "Those that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength." That's the whole part of that life of Christ in us, is waiting on the Lord. Not looking at the weariness of the walk, because because we have joy. That's what we look to. That joy of the Lord is our strength. The eagle is represented in this verse. It's used to illustrate when a storm comes, instead of fighting the winds, it will rise up to an altitude where the storm is below it. There he rests and rides out in peace. We can do the same thing. Whenever turbulence worries us or our family, we lock wings upon the promises of God, like Psalm 112, verses 1 and 2 in the NLT says, "How joyful are those who reverence the Lord and delight in obeying his commands. Their children will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed." That's because a mama prayed, mama believed, mom and dad working together. How do we experience the joy in the journey of life? We recognize God as our Heavenly Father. We recognize that we are sons of God with privilege and power. We enter his presence with prayerful and prayer and thanksgiving. We put him first in every decision that we make, acknowledging his word and will. We look to our big brother as our example for living a life of joy and obedience. I encourage you today to receive all that your Heavenly Father wants for you. Long life, prosperity, health, as a beloved child. Enter his presence daily. Keep an appointment with him. Definitely put that in your schedule. There's no greater experience you can have, no greater building up you can have than being in the Father's presence. Declare, the joy of my Heavenly Father is my strength, because I am what the Word of God says I am. I have been made to be. When the storms of life come, I declare I am joyful in Jesus. We truly have a journey of joy set before us. Let's enjoy it together. So that's what I wanted to share with you this morning. And how about if we all come together and holding hands, and I'll pray. Because, you know, we need each other. You know, we have fathers and mothers. But we are, for the most part, are brothers and sisters in Christ. And we need that strength of one another. We can't do it alone. So we need to recognize how important each one of our lives are, so that we can stand with great boldness and confidence. So we are holding hands here. So Heavenly Father, I thank you that we join together as one, that we represent Jesus Christ to the world, and that we can have that joy abounding in our lives as we look to all that you have done for us and what our Lord has done. I thank you for everyone here, for that love that we have for one another because of who we are in Christ. And I thank you that our lives can be full and rich, and that I thank you that we can truly love one another and rejoice in each other until your Son returns. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. 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 Thank you.
Well, we've got some special refreshments. Alta's got a...